The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus sent out and went away to the region of Tyre. He entered a house and did not want anyone to know that he was there. Yet he could not escape notice. But a woman whose little daughter had an unclean spirit immediately heard about him, and she came and bowed down at his feet. Now the woman was a Gentile of Syrophoenician origin. She begged him to cast the demon out of her daughter. He said to her, "Let the children be fed first, for it is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." But she answered him, "Sir, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." Then he said to her, "For saying this, you may go. The demon has left your daughter." So she went home, found the child lying on the bed, and the demon gone. Then he returned from the region of Tyre and went by the way of Sidon toward the Sea of Galilee, in the region of the Decapolis. They brought to him a deaf man who had an impediment in his speech, and they begged him to lay his hand on him. He took him aside in private, away from the crowd, and put his fingers into his ears, and he spat and touched his tongue. Then looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, "Ephphatha," that is, "be opened." And immediately his ears were opened, his tongue was released, and he spoke plainly. Then Jesus ordered them all to tell no one, but the more he ordered them, the more zealously they proclaimed it. They were astounded beyond measure, saying, "He has done everything well. He even makes the deaf to hear and the mute to speak." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Let us pray. God, your healing comes to us in so many ways, ways that are simple, ways that are complex, ways that we recognize, and ways that we do not understand, may not understand for years to come. God, we ask here in this place that we would open our minds and hearts toward you for healing as we need it, for only you know. We ask all this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Please be seated. A number of years ago, the phone rang in my office. And when I answered it, I was greeted by an electronic recording that said, "The person calling is using TTY, text-to-voice telephone service. Please wait to be connected to an operator." The call was from a woman at a nearby school for the deaf who was wondering whether I might be available to officiate at a funeral service for a member of their community who had died recently. This person had been a student at the school years ago and had remained active in the school community as a teacher. She confirmed that I would have a sign language interpreter for the service, sent me the obituary so I could learn about the man's life, and we set the date for what she called a small graveside service, which was the total opposite of what I found at the graveside the day of the service. There were at least 100 people there at the cemetery that day, and something I had never experienced before was happening all around me. The air was buzzing with the activity of a crowd, but it was totally silent. People were excitedly signing all around me, greeting one another as more people arrived, engaged in conversation, and I understood nothing about what they were saying. But there was something I understood for the first time about Jesus' healing, something this particular gathered community revealed to me for the first time. When Jesus healed someone, it was never just about the physical healing. Jesus says in the Gospels that he came that we might have life and might have it abundantly. And in the time that Jesus lived, up until relatively recently, society would have shut out the possibility of abundant life and flourishing for those who were deaf or blind or disabled, because they would not have been able to engage in typical societal roles in a typical manner. Blind, deaf, disabled people could be told that their sin or their family sin had caused this, had proclaimed them shameful, abandoned by their families at times, sometimes at the encouragement of religious leaders to protect families from shame and impurity. They were often left to a life of begging for meager subsistence. In a very real way, it was not actually the deafness or blindness, illness or disability that made abundant life impossible for these people. The barrier was not the deafness, the blindness, the illness, the disability, but the way that the society around them perceived and responded to these things, created barriers to their enjoyment of abundant life. But that's not the way it has to be. The funeral I attended that day gave me a stunning glimpse of wholeness and fullness of life within a community that didn't depend on any one of those people being cured of their deafness. I found myself thinking that day that if Jesus had been at that funeral, no miraculous healings would have happened. They were not necessary. Because it was never about the deafness itself. It had much more to do with the barriers put up by the people around Jesus, around this deaf man, and the flourishing that was possible on the other side of them. I believe this is one of the reasons that Jesus took the man aside when he healed him, took him out of the sight of others to heal him, so that the attention would not be on the healing of the deafness itself, but on the new life available for this man. Debbie Thomas wrote in a beautiful commentary this week, highlighting the fact that Jesus sighed before healing this man. She writes, "Is the sigh an expression of frustration with the crowds who won't see beyond this man's deafness? Is Jesus longing for the crowds to experience healing as well? Healing from their toxic assumptions about disability and morality. Healing from their own smug sense of superiority and well-being. Healing from their apathy toward the least of these." She laments the ways that we as a society and even within the church have failed to understand, have patronized, pitied, ignored, and sometimes mistreated those whose way of existence in the world are different from our own. "We've blocked their access to community," she writes, "to intimacy, worship, prophetic authority. We've prayed to God to cure them instead of doing the harder and more beautiful work of being Christ's hands and feet, eyes and ears for them." The funeral I attended that day was a beautiful example of people who had access to a space that allowed them to bring their whole selves to community without the expectation that they be cured or changed.
The experience of this kind of community for the deaf and hard of hearing is one of the reasons why new technologies like cochlear implants have been controversial for the deaf community. Not only does it risk the erasure of deaf communities like the school that had been such a safe, healing place for the people I met that day, but with the availability of this kind of technology comes the risk of an assumption that if the technology is available, people should fix themselves to fit in and fit society's concept of how things should be. Is this why Jesus sighed? Because he wished he didn't have to heal this man. Did he wish that the society around this man would welcome and embrace him, help him attain fullness of life without needing to be changed? Jesus' sigh invites us to consider, as his followers today, those times that we insist that others change before we embrace them into community, the ways that our own blindness to the needs of others rejects and precludes the possibility of belonging because we don't want to change ourselves in order to make belonging possible. What would it look like for us? Instead of evaluating others according to our standard of wholeness or health or worthiness, consider and work toward the flourishing of all people, realizing that, as Debbie Thomas wrote, that in God's eyes, all of us are in need of healing, wholeness, delivering, and transformation. Many of you know that this subject is more than just theoretical for me. As the parent of two children with hearing loss, and I know distinctly the difference between those who actively seek to include and promote my children's flourishing just as they are, and those who see their additional needs as something to be dealt with, something they wish they didn't have to deal with. When the people brought the deaf man to Jesus that day, Jesus healed him to restore him to community, to make life and flourishing possible for him, but he didn't just say, "Be healed." The word he used was, "Be opened." And I think those words were spoken to the man's friends as much as they were to the man. A prayer that their ears would also be opened to the people excluded in their midst. But also that their hearts would be opened to the way they themselves could make healing possible, even when Jesus was not there, by loving the deaf, the blind, the sick, the disabled, the stranger, in their midst, not by insisting on change, but through loving welcome, intentional inclusion, even when it necessitates change. As followers of Jesus, who don't have him physically present in our midst as he was on that day, we are given the same invitation. To be a community that doesn't demand change or sameness to be a part of the church. That persons of differing ages and abilities, races and backgrounds can come together to experience God's love in this place, to experience the presence of God more fully in the presence of others. In extending such a welcome, we will be changed, perhaps healed, as we learn more about being the beloved community of Christ. For God meets us, all of us, in our lives just as we are. And we, as the church, can do the same if we are open. Be open, Jesus says. I pray that this becomes truer each day as we love one another into fullness of life, where all are welcomed and included, and all are open to being changed by our encounter with the living God. Amen.